So last week we talked about kindness, and I went over some research and interesting facts about kindness and meanness and what happens in your brain if you're kind to other people or et cetera, and sort of making the point that kindness is generally a good thing to do. Today we're going to talk about techniques, meditation techniques that are focusing on the positive as opposed to just observing what's happening at the present. Now, around the world, the eagle is a symbol of freedom and power, right? And obviously, here we have the bald eagle. Mexico has an eagle on their flag. I think Albania does also. Native Americans revere the eagle. And that's because an eagle can fly up above the world of troubles, as it were, so communicate between the mundane world and this world of spirit and power. And she can travel on the wind wherever she wants. Her endurance seems to be pretty endless. There's a nobility about eagles. And so this meditation practice is sometimes uses the image of the eagle. We are like eagles because we're learning how to rise above the everyday dissatisfaction in life, get a bigger, broader view of what's really going on. Even if you want to, going so far as to commune with this spiritual transcendent realms, if you like. So yeah, we rise above and experience the spaciousness of everything. Now, the eagle can fly because she's got two wings, right? So she knows how to use them. If she just had one wing, she'd go in circles and end up on the ground. So our practice is like that. Also, we have two wings. The one wing is what we've been talking about for the past previous month, which is this practice of observing what's going on in our experience and learning to look closely at it with these three skills that I keep mentioning: concentration, clarity, and equanimity. So being able to focus on the experience of this moment in great detail, to see what's actually going on, to be able to distinguish between what's happening and what our reactions are and what our stories are that are being brought up, and et cetera, et cetera. To see things as they really are. And I've talked about how the closer you look and the more detail you can see the experience of now, of being, the more detail you can look at it, you discover more and more that there's not actually anything there. There's a series of activity, but everything is in motion. There's no thing that you can hang on to and say, that's me, or that's a thing. So ultimately, you look close enough, you discover that there's nothing there at all, and you dissolve into nothingness or emptiness. The other wing is about creating a positive connection, and that's recognizing that despite the fact that we may have this understanding of not actually being anything, at the same time, we do live in a world with billions of other creatures that exist, and we need to interact with them, and we need to see who they are and be able to connect with other. So on the one hand, we're discovering there is no self and other, there is no thing, and we dissolve into nothingness. But then on the other hand, we acknowledge that there is existence, and we see more and more the connectedness of that until ultimately we merge into it and become everything. So the one wing is nothingness, the other wing is everything, or toda e nada, as St. John of the Cross called it. And in the middle is this eagle, you know, the integration of the two soaring above the earth. So that's the other half of the practice. We can do our observational mindfulness, but we also need to counter that with the connection and the positivity, which is a creative technique as opposed to an observational technique. Now, it's a universal urge to connect with others. In religion, you see it, I think probably in every religion, you've got the prayers of intercession where you're praying for other people, for the good of other people. You've got admonitions to feed the poor and clothe the naked. You've got practices like loving kindness in Buddhism, and I presume there's a parallel in Hinduism of generating goodwill for others, perhaps not with a god to intercede, but in some other sense. Then you have holidays and ceremonies like Yom Kippur and Lent, where you're looking at yourself and assessing yourself and trying to improve yourself. And then you get into the secular world. You've got random acts of kindness. You know, those bumper stickers do random acts of kindness. So we just instinctively know that that's a good thing to do. We volunteer our time. We give our money to good causes. It's sort of instinctive to want to connect and reach out to others. And then there's also an understanding that is growing more and more now, that we need to take care of ourselves if we're going to take care of others. We need to love ourselves. We need to keep ourselves healthy and do what's necessary to improve our own experience so that we can be able to reach out to others. You can get even further away from religion with therapies, you know, if, things like CBT, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy, where you're reframing things, you're training your mind to think in certain ways that are different and healthier than what you have thought as a result of trauma or whatever. Cognitive reframing, I think, is another technique. These are all, everywhere you look, there's this instinct and this urge to improve ourselves and improve the world and connect with the rest of the world. So unified mindfulness offers a framework which you can use to create whatever positive, creative practice is appropriate for whatever situation you're in. And it encompasses all of these things that I've just been talking about. Instead of being a particular practice, it's a framework that you use to create a practice that suits you and your personality and your situation. It's using the three spaces that we've been talking about for the past couple of months. And for those of you who haven't been here, those are focus spaces of the experience of seeing. So external seeing or internal visual thought. The experience of hearing, again, external hearing of sounds or internal thinking in words or auditory type thinking, and then physical sensations in the body. Those three spaces are what we've been using to observe the experience of any moment. And we're going to use those three spaces instead of observing. We're going to be creating content in those spaces, all at the same time, developing and applying our concentration, clarity, and equanimity, which, again, for those of you who haven't been here, are what essentially define mindfulness in this system. So probably the best thing to do is that I'll do a short guided meditation to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, because it's easier to do it than to talk about it, to describe it. And then afterwards, we'll look at how you can adapt that basic framework to different styles of what I'll call nurturing positive. That the technique of nurturing positive will be any way that you choose to use this sort of model, which we'll go into right now. So what I'll do is I'll guide you through this. It's a technique just for bringing up good feeling, and it's sort of generic feel-good meditation. Oh, and we'll just spend a couple of minutes on this. So if you want to get comfortable in a posture, it needn't be crossed legs. I just do this because it's what's comfortable for me. And we'll be focusing on the internal thinking and emotional type body sensations. So you may want to close your eyes. If you don't, just look down towards the floor with an open focus so that you're not distracted by what you're seeing. And we'll start with bringing to mind an image of something that makes you feel good. Now, it can be anything at all. It can be a pet or a person that just makes you feel good when you're around them. It could be a place that you know that you'd like to go to. Could be an icon or a symbol. Now bring that to mind. Bring that into your image space or your see-in space. For most people, it's in front of or behind their closed eyes where they tend to see images of thought, visual thinking. It might be all around you, it doesn't really matter, but you want to identify where you see images so that you can concentrate on the image that you bring up. And the image that you bring to mind may not be perfectly clear. It's probably not going to look like a photograph. Some people have photographic memories, but for most of us, even, you know, my cat, who I see hours and hours every day, I'm not seeing a photograph of my cat, but I have a thought which I would describe as seeing my cat. So that's a visual, an image of my cat. So bring up this thing which makes you feel good, and just look at it for a few moments. You might have to keep bringing it up. It might fade away or disappear. That's all right. We'll just keep bringing up that image. And then if there's a sound that goes with that image in some way, for example, I might hear the purring of my cat in my mind, or if you're imagining a beach, you might hear the sound of the waves breaking. If it's a person, you might hear that person's voice saying something nice to you. Or maybe music that also makes you feel good, that somehow links you with the symbol that you're looking at. So bring up that auditory bit of thinking, and we'll call that hearing space or sound space. Hear in is a label for it. And see if you can have both of those, the image and the sound, going at once. Focus on both of them. You might have to jump back and forth. It may not be possible to concentrate on both at the exact same time, but if you need to just switch back and forth, you can do that. And then finally, while you're paying attention to that, notice in your body, if there are any physical sensations of pleasure that come up when you think about those, that image and that sound. Maybe there's a hint of a smile on your face, or a warm fuzzy feeling in your belly. Maybe your body just feels relaxed when you think about this. And if you're not aware of any particular physical sensation, then that's okay too. But if you are, no matter how small it may be, pay attention to that. That's really where the feeling good, where the juice of it is in your body. So we're using the mental image and sound to trigger the good feeling in your body. So see if you can notice that feeling, where it is, and if it's changing or if it's staying the same, where the boundaries are. Just as much detail as you can, notice that sensation. So, here, I'll ring the bell for you. You're allowed to open your eyes. You can see how if you were to continue to bring up those images and sounds and to focus on your body, that could create this positive, it could improve your mood and create positivity. Now, if you were to put this in a religious context, for example, say you were imagining the Virgin Mary and saying the Hail Mary to yourself, then the sensations that came up might be adoration or gratitude or comfort. Or if you were in certain Buddhist schools, you might imagine Kuan Yin, the bodhisattva of compassion, and you might chant her mantra or her name to yourself, and then you might find that the feelings that come up are compassion, either for yourself or for others. So you can see how these religious practices are essentially the same thing of training your body into goodness through creating content in your mind. And if you take away the religious context, you know, I mentioned earlier cognitive behavioral therapy. You know, maybe you're in therapy because you've got a low self-image or a poor self-image. You might be given the exercise of imagining yourself with your friends, imagining them having fun with you and saying the words, my friends love me, over and over, my friends love me. And eventually you begin to feel that that might be true. And you're training your body to believe that your friends love you. And then when you're with your friends, eventually you find that you actually are able to receive their love or enjoy their presence. So that's the sort of classic CBT therapy technique. Same thing as doing the Hail Marys or the Kuan Yin visualization. Other examples, the loving kindness we did last week. For those of you who weren't here, we did the same thing, but we brought to mind people who perhaps we wanted to send love to or kindness to. So first we triggered that feeling in ourselves and then imagined others and sent that feeling out to them. Intercessory prayer, where you're asking for someone to be healed. You might be imagining them being healed, and maybe if you're Catholic, you're imagining them being touched by an angel or something. Same thing. Now, does this actually heal a person? I don't know. I can imagine, especially with all the connectedness I've been talking about, there might be some sort of energy exchange or something. I don't know. But what I do know is that it'll change you. It'll increase your own feeling of love or compassion or whatever it is that you're choosing to work with. And that's going to eventually play out in subtle behavior changes. You know, maybe after you've been doing loving kindness for someone, you feel like, oh, I just want to call them up and say hi. And then that person feels good because you've called up and said hi. And so doing this practice has helped this other person to feel good. So I don't know about the direct ways that we might affect other people, but I know that these practices of nurturing the positive affect us in ways that then affect other people. So we are nurturing our own positivity, and then that plays out into positivity towards others. So also I want to say it's not necessary to use all three of the focus spaces at once. That's a common thing to do, but you could just use one or two. So let's say you just use herein. So you're just going to repeat a sound or a word to yourself. This is the foundation of positive affirmations. You know, it's I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, or om, om, over and over, the mantra meditation is what we've just been doing, only just using the hearing, auditory thinking space. Or maybe you're trying to feel compassion for someone and it's just not working and you can't get that physical sensation. You can still keep the visual and the auditory going, and that in itself, without the physical sensation, will nurture that positivity. Some people can actually create the feeling of feeling good in their bodies without having to trigger it with anything. You can just focus on, you know, this feels good. Maybe I'm feeling down and I can make myself feel good and I can focus on that and that'll bring me up. No, I'm not one of those people who can just create a positive feeling. I need to use some visualization and some auditory triggering. But some people can do that. There's a new thing going around now, laughing meditation or laughing yoga. Have you heard of that? Where everyone sits in a group and someone just starts laughing. And at first it's sort of odd and forced, but then everyone else starts giggling and before long the entire room is laughing and then everyone feels good and you can feel the sensation of laughing. So that's, again, the same technique of creating content in one of these three spaces to nurture positive. So you can see how you can create your own technique by deciding what it is you want to work on and then determining what content to create in your visual thinking, your auditory thinking, your physical body. Some people, not surprisingly, find it a little confusing at first to figure that out. And you don't have to come up with a new way of doing it every time you want to do a positivity meditation. So you can just find one style that you like and stick with that until you feel like you want to branch out. You can just sort of do some examples just to help you see how you might create your own techniques. So say you had a a bad day at work or at school or something, you had an argument with somebody, and you come home and you want to do some nurturing positive that will make you feel better, what sorts of things might you do? What might you bring up in your image space or in your hearing space? Any thoughts? You're feeling really pissed off at someone. What would make you feel less angry?
My dog. My dog.
Your dog? Okay, so say you're not at home, you're still at work. You could bring to mind an image of your dog and the sound of your dog panting in your ear. Maybe you can even remember physically what it feels like to hug your dog. So you bring that to mind a little bit, and then you notice the sensations that are positive in your body that feel good, and you focus on those, and you sort of overwhelm the anger and frustration with that feeling good about your dog. Or you could, if you want to do the positive affirmation thing, make up a phrase that you're angry at this person, so you say, I'm at peace about this argument, or this, I'm not upset about this argument. And then you imagine yourself being not upset, being able to let that go. And you focus on that and focus on that and see in your body if there's any relaxation that you can focus on. And by doing this sort of thing, it can have an immediate effect, but also you're training yourself into a positive response and a positive way of thinking, and you're training your body that it feels good when you're thinking in a positive way. And so that creates a feedback loop, and you just sort of instinctively start thinking in a more positive way because it feels better in your body, and you've learned how to notice how it feels in your body. Yes, sir.
Just to add that for me, it's enough to just pay attention to my body, and it feels better.
Well, then do that. And that would be the techniques that we've been talking about in the past month.
I'm on track then?
If you're not spinning out of control for lack of the other wing of positivity, if what you're describing is creating that positivity.
I go there spinning out of control, right? So that's the refuge from spinning out of control.
Okay, then that's good. And for those of you who are new here, my what would you call it, my motto, my tagline is do what works. So experiment and try out different things and find what works for you. And that's the right thing that you should be doing, at least in meditation. I can't say about the rest of your lives. But how about if we do some of this meditation? Does that sound good? Shall I do some guided meditation?